This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Get back into our conversation with names you will see on the ballot coming up on Tuesday in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's going to be, he's going into his 16th, going into 17th year, getting rid of junk in Mobile and Baldwin County. And you know the name, right? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's got the national brand here. But let me tell you about my friend that runs it for all these years. He's as much of a homer as can be. He runs the company. His son's working with the company. Local folks working with the company, working with local folks. And I've been telling you for over a decade here about the service. I've used them personally, used them with this radio station to get junk gone. But you can go to like Google reviews, right? And look at the number of people that you know that you go to church with, you go to school with, you work with. You'll see their names on there given a Google review. And I've said in the past, it's real easy for somebody who's unhappy with the service to get online and say, I don't like such and such. But when people are satisfied with it and then take their time to go online to tell you how satisfied and why they're satisfied, it says a lot. So take it from me, but also take it from those Google reviews. You got to get rid of junk. It could be a storage unit you pay on every month. You don't know what the heck you have in there. You want to get rid of that. Maybe it's your house, a house you're getting ready to sell, a business, wherever. You've got junk and you want it gone. Little stuff, big stuff, lots of stuff. He's got you. It's my man, Trey, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Easy to set that appointment, too. You can go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I love this, too. They're going to find a day that they realize, like, you have a job and family and all that. Instead of saying, they'll be there sometime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. No, they find the day that works for you, the time that works for you. They set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up. You're there. You point at the junk you want gone. And they can get to work right then if you say yes. So check them out. 1-800-GOT-JUNK and 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, continue our conversation with those names you will see on the ballot coming up on Tuesday. Now, this name is not foreign to folks in this neck of the woods, but would be new in looking at a federal office. One of the Republicans running for AL2, State Senator Greg Allbritton. Good to see you. Glad to have you in here.
Hey, thanks. Good to have me. Good to be here.
Let's talk about this this district that I have talked about for a long time when the redrawing was going on. I said, you know, what are we doing? We're going from state line to state line, you know, with AL2 and AL1. These are very different districts than I grew up with. This kind of AL1 was this thing, I think, for the last 30-something years.
AL1, more than that, I think.
Yeah,
it's been the same.
It was before Jack Edwards, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I just grew up with, I just thought AL, I mean, that made sense to me, but here we go. We
got made sense to everybody else except the people in
the plaintiffs,
Atlanta.
Yes. They decided to change this baby. But with that, it does change some of the dynamics of, you know, this new district and who's voting in this district. I mean, we're sitting right here in AL2, but somebody over on the Georgia line sitting there too.
Yeah, exactly. Phoenix City.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, so as a person that has done this at a state level, right, but to look at the breadth of this congressional district, that's got to be challenging just to talk to enough people there.
Yeah, it is. It's challenging in several different ways. There's no roadway that goes between the two.
Right.
There's no aircraft that lands between the two.
Okay. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And trains also don't go through there. Anyway, this is a district that has been pushed together.
Mm-hmm.
And we can complain about it all we want to, Sean. But it is what it is. We are where we are. I don't think this will hold up when it gets to the Supreme Court. But that's, I don't know when that'll occur.
Right.
And we've got an election. And
that's
we've
right.
got to elect somebody to occupy this seat.
Yeah, it's one thing to think about, too, that obviously I'm Southwest Alabama guy, so that's where I want my representation to come from in AL2. We have scenarios on the Democrat side, somebody who could be from north of the Tennessee River could be, you know, if elected, could be representing us where we're sitting right here at Airport and 65. It leaves me slack-jawed a little bit, but that's the rules, huh?
It is. It's the rules. You don't have to live within the district to represent the district congressional law, okay, federal law. Getting the votes, that's the
sure.
difference.
It is, and I do wonder where the, you know, where the votes are. And I know anybody running has been looking at these heat maps. We've got two population centers down here and then up in Montgomery and then a lot of areas in between that there's just not as many votes, right? So, I mean, how do you do that? Do you try to take the hinterlands and get that message out there, or do you focus in Montgomery and focus in Mobile?
Well, that's the issue, obviously, but it's not a new issue. I've ran in eight counties before. This district used to consist of a Senate district, eight counties, and we had the same type thing. It's not going to be easy. There's no way you can purchase this, I don't believe, because the media, you got Mobile, you got Florida, you got Mississippi,
right.
You got Georgia, you got Montgomery. Yeah. There's no way anyone can afford to buy these medias. So it's going to take tire tread and shoe leather.
Mm-hmm. Good old fact, go back to the roots.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, though, and hearing your ads, talking about some things that stood out to me. First of all, your service.
You see my ads?
Yeah, I've listened to your ads.
Like you already.
Yeah, so and I was thinking about this, first of all. Service to our country, Navy veteran.
Yep.
Talk about your service in the Navy.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. Now, that's what I retired from. I started out in the Air Force, enlisted.
Are you going to be one of these that starts? You started grief between Air Force and Navy because we got them both represented in this building. Are you going to?
With pleasure and valor. Yes.
you get this mix up. You hear the Marines talk about the Army, talk about the Air Force, talk about Navy.
All that's in fun. My father-in-law was an Air Force colonel. I was an Air Force E-2 when I married his only daughter. That didn't go over well. But anyway, I went through and got into Navy OCS and served active duty. My last active duty station, in fact, was CO of the Reserve Center here in Mobile.
I'll be darned.
Got out, went to law school, stayed in the reserves, finally retired from the military.
So you served in the military, then in law school, and then when did you get into state politics?
When I got mad.
I hear that from people. I mean, that's your story. I mean,
that is true. When I started law school, we moved from Mobile up to Evergreen. That was halfway between my business in Mobile and the law school in Montgomery.
Okay.
So I've traveled this road a little bit.
Yes.
And went to law school, got through law school, and just hung out my shingle and practiced all over. You know, when you're a small time lawyer, you do what comes in the door.
Right.
And it was fun. Enjoyed that.
And so you're doing that, and then at a certain point you said, because people say, I'm mad about whatever it is. It could be municipal level, you know, county
didn't
level, state level.
Doing, didn't know how to do, what to do, or anything of that nature. Just
you said, well, I'm going to run.
Yeah, exactly. And got out there and started. First run was in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
I got 42% of the vote, ran against a Democrat. Next time in 2002, I did the same thing, and that's when we took him out. I've taken out Democrats in that district, which is the old seat 64, and in this district, in Senate 22, took out a Democrat here. I know how to defeat Democrats. In fact, I've had to take out a few Republicans along the way, too.
Well, you're saying something, Senator, that is important, because this AL2, this majority or minority opportunity district, as the plaintiffs called it, whatever, that when the judge decided, is one that's not, you know, so many times in Alabama, I've said it on the air for over a decade and a half, the primary is the general.
Exactly.
But that's not true here.
Not so here. This is a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
And we need someone that has had challenges, that knows how to run in these rural districts and in the districts of Mobile and Montgomery. I've done all that. No one else has faced the challenges I have on the ballot to find out and to get the votes. I've won in Conecuh County. I've won in Clark and Monroe and even in Choctaw. I've taken seats on the Republican ticket in each and every one of those places. Mobile, I've served. Baldwin County, I've served. I know how to do this.
Now, people who talk about this area, the Mobile portion of it, I look at this line between AL1 and AL2. I joke so many times, not joking, just saying that it cuts through the dang parking lot of Austell, the line. Like the parking lot's in one district and the actual business in the other. That's a concern for somebody from just a kind of local level, is how important these businesses are here. And are we splitting attention, or are we going to double attention with, you know, somebody from two versus, you know, having just being under the auspices of whoever's elected in one?
The economic engine for all of South Alabama really is Mobile. Dothan is a strong point. Montgomery is a governmental site. But the economic engine is South Alabama and the port and the things that we do here. And no one else has been able to do the things I've been able to do to make sure that we got the development we need, to be able to get the expansions that we need, to put the processes in so that Mobile Port can be the main port in the whole region, South End.
Yeah, we're the second fastest growing port in the United States
we're
right now.
We're going to become first if we can get moving along a little faster and get a little bit more emphasis here.
Well, I mean, I think that's important because from just the party side of it or the distance that some people live away from the district, that I worry that they don't know what you just said.
You're
how
correct.
Important this is.
Exactly. You're correct. One of my earliest memories as a kid is coming down to the port for military day in 1 May. My father used to work at Brooklyn.
Okay.
I know about all this. Okay. I've always been here. And to have someone from Montgomery or Phoenix City or Huntsville to come in to try to represent this area, it will not work. We are on the cusp of growing. We're on the cusp of gaining more economic growth than we've ever had. But we got to keep it going. That ties directly into political aspects, political knowings of how to work these things. I can do this.
All right. People want more information about your campaign. Where do they go?
AllBritainForAlabama.com. That's the website I've got for that. But also, I'm in the Senate now. You can find me lots of places. My cell number is pretty well published out there. Everybody knows where I am. Just holler at me. Flag me down. Pick me up on the side of the road. Whatever.
Okay. Good. And yeah, next time you come back, we'll talk a little bit about this, but we're also going to focus on some state stuff. I got a bunch of questions for you.
Great. Wonderful.
All right. State Senator and candidate for AL2, Greg AllBritain, our guest, and we're coming right back.